south of the border, down Mexico way. That's where I fell in love when the stars above came out to play. And now as I wander.
Hello there, all you expat wannabes. I'm Johnny Mueller, and you're listening to The Expat Files, Living in Latin America, the show that tells you just what it's like to live, work, play, and or retire down here in Latin America. It's a mix of the good, the bad, the ugly, and the great, and it's all right here, so let's get started. Okay, now, here's a little trap that a lot of gringos and expats fall into. Gringos and expats who rent cars down here in Latin America, that is. Now, up in the States, you know, we've got hotels and motels and so-called auto hotels. And down here, they've got hotels. No motels. They don't exist. But they have things called auto hotels, which to us look exactly like motels that we're used to seeing. From the outside looking in, the only difference is that they're usually surrounded by a big wall. So you can't actually see the cars parked in front of the individual units. They're all behind that big wall. So because the name says it all, auto, as in car, dash, hotel, H-O-T-E-L, we obviously think these are your standard motels, only Latin style. But what no one tells you is down here in Latin America, these auto hotels, no matter how beautiful, nice, and safe they look, are nothing more than momentary sexual rendezvous points. And you know, it's not hard to figure that out once you're in there, when you find out that they rent the places by the hour. Yep, I'm serious. They rent the places by the hour. So in fact, those are the places where husbands cheat on wives and wives cheat on husbands and bosses take their secretaries for a special lunch of the touchy-feely type. And you know, another telltale sign is that when you drive into the place, there's really no lobby and you're never really over a counter face-to-face with a front desk clerk because what happens is when you drive your car in, and you walk up to the door, there's a little slot like a speakeasy, and you put your money in and, well, do the transaction with who's ever behind that screen. And usually you can only see their hand or their head through the little sliding door or tinted glass. Then you get your key and some instructions, and you're on your way. For however long it takes, an hour, half hour, 3 minutes, all depends, right? With Latin customers, that's the setup they're used to. Now, note, there's lots of road-weary gringos who've rented a car. A lot of us just take to the road in Latin America, wandering hither and yon, sometimes just meandering, not really knowing where we're going, just exploring in a general direction. I've been there, I've done that a lot. And as the clock strikes four or so, you start realizing you have to find a place to stay overnight. And since these so-called auto hotels are everywhere, and like I said, even in the worst neighborhoods, they look nice and safe, even quite inviting sometimes, especially the new ones. Nice garden, high walls, good security. Now, the funny thing is, often you'll be driving way out in the boonies, just fresh air, mountains, valleys, jungle, almost nothing around but farms and nature. And suddenly you'll spot, out of the blue, one of these brand new auto hotels. Meaning there's 100 kilometers of nothing in either direction except this nice auto hotel that looks kind of inviting, especially at 4 or 5 o'clock in the afternoon and you're bum tired. And remember, when you're in Central America or the top half of South America, the sun goes down around 6 o'clock every night. That's how it is as you get closer to the equator. That said, when the average clueless gringo and his girlfriend or family, whatever, drives in and notices there's no front desk, no lobby, and in fact there's no pool, that's another telltale sign. I mean, under those circumstances, when time is of the essence, who needs a pool, right? Well, the fact is these auto hotels, like I said, some of them look pretty nice, from the outside anyway, are specifically set up so you never really run into anyone. You know, the security of not getting caught. And really, as it turns out, the only person you might run into physically and see face to face is a cleaning lady. Because, you know, when rooms are being rented by the hour, there's a hell of a fresh linen turnover, if you know what I mean. So then you might ask, Johnny, how do you know about all this stuff? That's because in my early days as a clueless gringo, I had rented a car, had just gone from Costa Rica into Nicaragua, didn't know anyone or anything, the terrain totally unfamiliar, and once on that trip, I was driving through a lower middle class small town, noticing there weren't any hotels that looked fit for a gringo. I mean, unless we're backpackers, we do have our standards. And for me, my minimum level of hotel comfort is a private clean room with a nice private clean bathroom. Now, you can generally tell by the outside of a place what it's going to be like in the inside. And in this little Nicaraguan town I just passed through, all the hotels I noticed looked the same. The signs were rotting, burnt out, broken bulbs and obvious water damage, paint peeling off the wall, mangy dogs sleeping in the doorways, etc. No place I'd recommend a gringo stay. But lo and behold, as I drove out to the edge of town and hit the wide open spaces, I suddenly saw a gigantic sign that said, Primavera Auto Hotel Suites, 5 kilometers ahead. And sure enough, 5 kilometers ahead, in the middle of nowhere, there was a relatively new, kind of nice looking auto hotel, which I immediately mistook as a Latin American version of a Motel 6. And as it turned out, once I parked in one of the garage spots, I realized that every room or unit had been isolated from the others. Once you were in your car park, you couldn't see any of the other units. And by the way, these places are so privacy conscious that when you pull into one of the designated spots and get out of your car, you'll notice there are instructions on the plaque on the wall for each of these little spaces that said, please press the button to close the garage door, then proceed to the check-in window. And believe me, back then my Spanish really sucked, so I had a hard time making that out. And when I did proceed to the check-in window, which was really nothing more than a ledge and a hole in the wall about as big as a shoebox with a sliding opaque glass window to hand your money to whoever was behind that wall. And remember, the girl behind the window somehow got it through to me that I had to pay her $5 in the local funny money. And I thought, man, that's awful cheap. This is a pretty nice place, new and everything. And when, in my very bad Spanish, I said, just $5? She said, una hora, which means for 1 hour. And I said, wait a minute, 1 hour? I want the whole night. She said, ah, como no, estás gringo, huh? Which means, ah, yeah, why not? You're a gringo. I get it. And remember, I'm dead tired from driving all day. It's almost black outside, and I'm thinking, I gotta stay in this place. And then she told me it was something like $25 for the whole night, and I settled in to a heart-shaped king-size bed, a TV that had something like 3 regular channels and 5 porno channels, and a big tacky velvet poster over the bed, not of Elvis, but of a Don Juan Spanish type, kissing a half-naked peasant girl. Oh, and by the way, it was one of those old-time Vegas vibrating beds, you know, you pump your quarters in and it starts jiggling. Anyway, it was obvious the lady behind the window had experienced a few clueless gringos stumbling on through to rent the place for the whole night and actually sleep. Now, don't get me wrong, these places are all about sexual rendezvous for an hour or less, but they are not prostitute palaces. In other words, there are no skanky-looking girls hanging around. You're expected to bring your own, skanky or otherwise. And while I'm on the subject, I might as well talk about what's been popping up in the yellow pages in big Latin American papers lately. That is, ads by so-called Latin private eyes or detective agencies, if that's what you could call them, where for a fee, they'll follow your spouse around and catch him in the act. Usually it's a him, of course. So you could absolutely have undeniable proof from a third party that there was a whole lot of cheating going on. Now, about a year ago, I happened to run into one of these guys at one of Expat Eddie's restaurants in El Salvador. You see, Eddie's got a lot of employees now, and he was thinking of hiring a service to do polygraphs on his employees, both preliminarily before he hired them and when things went missing and he had to find out who the bad seed or bad seeds were. Oh, and remind me to tell you the latest Expat Eddie story about his new camera surveillance system that he's put in all his restaurants. That's a good one. But we'll save that one for another time. So, I was at Expat Eddie's restaurant, and this polygraph guy was sitting at the table going over some details with Eddie. And he told us that his agency did all kind of investigation work, but the most profitable, besides the polygraph thing, was following spouses of suspected cheaters. And like the guy said, it's nearly a 100% certainty that if they get hired, they'll find a cheater. And he said, if you think it's like that TV program Cheaters, you know, that reality show where private investigators are hired to follow an alleged cheating spouse. He says it doesn't quite work like that in Latin America. In fact, down here, it's much easier to catch someone. Because, like he said, guys just don't put that much time and effort into covering their tracks. They're just pretty blatant about it. And by the way, that program is big down here in Latin America. Everyone down here knows about it because I think it's on Nat Geo or the Nature Channel or something. Yeah, how ironic. Down here it's on the Nature Channel because it's totally natural to cheat down here. So that polygraph guy told Eddie and I that it was the easiest thing in the world to catch a guy cheating on his wife. All they have to do is know the guy's car, because remember, these are upscale Latins who hire these agencies, so all of them do have cars. Then stake out the nearest 2 or 3 auto hotels and film the guy when he's driving in, because Latins know auto hotels are built for a certain clientele. which is why those hotel managers never expect a gringo is going to pop in with his wife and three kids. So for gringos, is it definitely a no-no? Well, if you're in a place you don't know and you're totally wiped out from driving at the end of the day, it is an option. But don't bother checking the TripAdvisor because these places are not listed. So then what have they got going for them? Well, they're cheap, safe, and secure. But don't walk on that carpet barefoot. That said, well, I think I'll quit while I'm ahead, so let's move on. Now, if you remember in last week's show, or maybe it was the one before, we've had some questions pop up about yellow fever shots in South America. Because as it turns out, so many of our listeners out there are very well educated and are anti-vaccine. They've done their research and know the story on vaccinations. That said, two of my favorite expat wisdom seminar attendees, I think they came down in 2013, they have chimed in on the subject too, since they're world travelers of sorts, had just been to South America, and can give us some up-to-date info on that yellow fever crap. That said, let me read this email. And I'll paraphrase this a bit as usual. It says, "Dear Johnny, about that so-called mandatory yellow fever vaccine so many people are talking about. According to the CDC, several South American countries require it. Now, in the last 5 years, we've been to Argentina, Bolivia, Brazil, Colombia, Paraguay, and Peru without being asked to show proof of vaccination upon entering, even though they all officially require it. Not to mention, so do Ecuador, Panama, Venezuela, Trinidad and Tobago, and three other small South American countries. Now, my better half, Roberto, says that when we flew from Colombia to El Salvador in Central America last year, they asked us about the vaccine as we were leaving Colombia. I assume that would have been at the airport. Then she goes on, Roberto claimed we'd had them. He said the proof was buried deep in his bag somewhere, really just a stall tactic, and that was plenty good enough for the Colombians. We didn't have to show it, and we were passed right through. But when we were attempting to leave Peru 2 months ago, the airline would not give us our boarding passes without proof of the yellow fever vaccination. It didn't matter that we'd only been in the highlands where yellow fever isn't present and the vaccine is not required. At the airport, they claimed that El Salvador, our destination, would insist that we have it. Now, El Salvador's not on the CDC's list, and we've been there before without proof of that vaccine. Showing them our previous El Salvador stamps in our passport didn't persuade them it wasn't necessary. We still needed it. So, in Arequipa, they finally gave us our boarding passes for the flight to Lima and said we'd need to check in again once we arrived. So, in Lima, it was the same story. No proof of vaccine, no boarding pass. So, we went to a little health clinic tucked in the corner near the ticketing counters, paid about $14 each, and got our shots. By the way, the nurse used individually wrapped disposable syringes, and the vaccines were in single-use vials stored in a refrigerator. Now, the card they give you, the proof of vaccine card, includes the brand name, which was Pasteur, and the lot number. Now, Roberto had no side effects, but my joints ached for about a day. Then, when we went back to the airline check-in counter, the clerk was still reluctant to give us our boarding passes, claiming that we needed to have had those shots more than 10 days before actually traveling. So, eventually, she called a supervisor who assured her that it was okay to let us on that plane. I should have taken a photo of the sign listing the prices at the airport clinic. If I remember right, the vaccine was the most expensive thing on the list. Now get this, a simple medical exam would have cost about $2, unless you also needed your blood pressure taken, in which case it might have been around $3. So there you have our recent experiences with the yellow fever vaccine. Signed, not a fan of vaccinations either, Kiki. Okay, so there you have it firsthand. Like I said in a recent past show, it's all very spotty and sometimes they'll nail you with it and sometimes they won't. Oh, and by the way, just a year ago, I was in Venezuela, Aruba, Curaçao, Colombia, Panama, Dominican Republic, and a few other countries throughout North and South America, and I never once was asked to show a vaccination card myself, and I thought for sure they'd try to do it to me in Venezuela, since the government there kind of hates gringos, you know? You've seen the news, they do make it tough on gringos whenever they can. Now, don't get me wrong, the people in Venezuela absolutely love gringos. I'm talking about the individuals you meet in Venezuela. They're very nice people. It's the government in Venezuela that has it in for gringos. Thank you, Bush, Clinton, and Mr. Ovambit for that. But when I was there last year, I had no such problem. Even in the DR, where I understand sometimes they'll ask you for that vaccination card. Even though the Dominican Republic is not on the CDC's list. So then you might ask, and a lot of people do, what are the risks of not having that vaccination and actually getting yellow fever? Well, like I said before, in my 25 years of being in and around all throughout Latin America, I've never met a single foreigner, gringo, expat, traveler, or for that matter, Latin person who has had yellow fever or knows anyone that's had it. But then again, that's just me, and I don't usually hang around places where there are lots of bugs and mosquitoes. Although I've seen a great number of jungle ruins and stuff, I'm not one to go hacking my way through jungles Indiana Jones style. And when I am hanging around wide open spaces, especially around waters, rivers, lakes, etc., at night especially, I'll hit myself up with some bug spray. I know, that's not good. That stuff's toxic. But even down here, at some of the big grocery stores, you can find bug sprays that are actually touted as organic and made out of all natural ingredients. Then again, cyanide's an all natural ingredient, so go figure. In the famous words of a Catholic priest I once knew back in Chicago, I poop you not. Yep, that's right. I poop you not. In fact, down here in Latin America, where you find gringos, you'll always find health food and so-called organic stores. And they'll have some version of an organic and natural bug repellent. And of course, there are all kinds of do-it-yourself formulas on the internet for said product, too. Yes, I've tried a few myself, but they're never as good as high-powered DEET. They don't come close. You know, DEET. D-E-E-T, the stuff that induces cancer, causes birth defects, and the occasional pinheaded offspring that will only qualify for reality shows and politics. I don't have to point out any examples to you guys, I know that. But where was I? Oh yeah. Though some people living at sea level down here in Latin America say better DEET than drone-sized mosquitoes with harpoon stingers. But again, when you're in my favorite place, the Altiplano, you just don't have that. Mosquitoes are not very bothersome. In fact, you could go weeks without one ever even landing on you. Except, of course, at night or if you're in the woods or near a body of water. But as far as the actual occurrence of yellow fever, as far as traveling gringos and expats are concerned, that means you. It says right here in black and white, in a recent Center for Disease Control report, CDC, from 1970 through 2011, a period of 41 years now, a total of four cases of yellow fever were reported in unvaccinated travelers from the U.S. and Europe who traveled to South America. Hell of an epidemic. Yeah, right. Four. And get this, one of those four, which is 25% of the total, had been vaccinated. Then it says, the risk of acquiring yellow fever in South America is much lower than one might think because the mosquitoes that transmit the virus between monkeys in the forest canopy in South America do not often come in contact with humans. Then finally, this CDC report says, the risk of acquiring yellow fever is difficult to predict because of variations in ecologic determinants of viral transmission. Try saying that after about five tequilas.
Variations in ecologic determinants of viral transmission.
And you thought Barry White was dead. Now, where were we? Oh, yeah. Then it says, if you're traveling and you're worried about yellow fever, you can go by the following guidelines. For a 2-week stay in a wooded canopy jungle environment, the risk of illness and death due to yellow fever for an unvaccinated traveler visiting endemic areas in South America are approximately 5 infections for 100,000 people in a 2-week exposure period. Okay, so that's what it says, but I don't believe a word of it. Because, you know, South America has millions of visitors and travelers from the first world every year. And as that earlier data from the CDC pointed out, there were only 4 cases in 40 years of unvaccinated travelers from the U.S. and Europe. That would mean your chances of visiting South America and getting yellow fever would be 1 in, well, millions. So then where do they get that 5 in 100,000 bit? I don't get it. It's so far off, it's ridiculous. Can't these government asswipes do 4th grade math? I guess not. Oh, and just one more thing about yellow fever and people who don't want to get that vaccine and they still want to travel. Well, on the CDC website, it says this. This is for people who refuse to take vaccines and want a waiver. According to the U.S. CDC website, you can get a yellow fever vaccine waiver, which you can show officials in Bolivia and other South American countries. This is the quote. Most countries will accept a medical waiver for persons with a medical reason for not receiving the vaccination. You can do this by getting written waivers from foreign country consular or embassy officials before your departure. Travelers should contact the appropriate embassy or consulate for advice. Typically, a physician's letter stating the reason for withholding the vaccination and written on the letterhead stationery of that doctor is required by the embassy or consulate to issue a waiver. The letter must bear the stamp used by a health department or official immunization center to validate the international certificate of vaccination. Okay, so if you want to go through all that, fine. And I guarantee you, if you go to a holistic doctor, he'll readily give you a waiver like that. However, if it's your standard Ovomit Care doctor, all bets are off. Okay, that said, here's something that will certainly be of interest to you. I'm reading this now from a Latin American news source in Spanish. I'll translate. This should make you feel really good or not. Now, concerning gun violence in Latin America, you probably heard a lot about it, especially in Mexico. Not to mention, you've probably read that Honduras, El Salvador, and Guatemala have horrendously high levels of gun violence. Well, listen to these statistics. According to police and hospital emergency room records, when investigators studied 4,050 gunshot wound victims that presented themselves at emergency room hospitals in Latin America, whether they lived or died is not the issue. As it turns out, fully 83% of gunshot wound victims presenting in hospital emergency rooms, 83% were either admitted gang members or had previous felony police records. And we're not talking running red lights or jaywalking here, because down here in Latin America, those are pretty much not considered crimes. So then what does that say about violent crimes with guns in Latin America? The other 17% who you might say were innocent victims or not, that is, they did not have criminal records or were not members of gangs. Those, in fact, are the real statistics we should be focusing on when it comes to gringos and expats and gonna-bes and wannabes. Simply stated, down here in Central America at least, 83% of the time when there's a crime and someone gets shot, it's bad guys shooting bad guys. And as I stated in previous shows, 90% of the time, violent crimes committed in Latin America are in certain high crime neighborhoods gringos should stay well away from. And we do know those spots. Pick any city in Latin America. All you have to do is ask a cab driver, a hotel captain, or the guy behind the Hertz or Avis rent-a-car booth at the airport. He or she will tell you exactly which sections of town to stay out of and which ones are safe. Enough said about that. Okay, on another subject, here's something you have to look out for. Seems like just in the last maybe 6 months, certain big gringo franchises down here, and there are thousands of them, and some big progressive Latin companies have cottoned on to the fact that Latins are very easy touches for giving up all their personal information to anyone that's taller, whiter, official-looking, in a uniform, authoritative, or dressed in a three-piece suit. So then what do I mean by that? Well, reports have been trickling in from long-term expats telling me that nowadays, when they go into, for example, Sherwin-Williams or Toyota or Starbucks or McDonald's or any big outfit that takes credit cards, oftentimes when one does pay with a credit card these days, they ask you for another form of ID and your phone number. Latins always give that stuff up, though smart gringo expats try to get around it. Anyway, one gringo friend of mine told me that when he paid for some paint at Sherwin-Williams and when he went into Toyota just to get a replacement part, a new filter for his air circulation system, you know what I'm talking about, the one you're supposed to change. It's behind your glove compartment. Most people don't even know it's there and never change it, but you should, especially in Latin America because those things get filthy. But that's another subject. Anyway, he told me just last week that he's now starting to get text messages on his smartphone from Sherwin-Williams and Toyota telling him about the latest and greatest deals they're offering. Well, he's really pissed off. He does not want that garbage. So he's become kind of like me and many other expats. He's decided to pay everything he can with cash. I guess it's just the reverse up in the States. Paying with cash is getting harder and harder. I hear now up in the States, many places are requiring you to produce an ID to pay in cash. Has that happened to you? Anyway, up in the States, if you give out your phone number because you're paying with a credit card, do you all of a sudden get all kinds of crazy text messages? Well, down here it's happening and it's very annoying. So be aware that you can take some countermeasures. If they ask for it, don't say no, just give them someone else's. Use disinformation anytime you can. Don't give out your personal information to anyone. Not to businesses or people you don't know, that's for sure. Oh, and here's an email coming from a person who's going to attend my Expat Wisdom Seminar, July 11th. He says, Johnny, what's wrong with people? What are they waiting for? Why aren't they leaving the U.S.? Don't people care? Aren't they paying attention? Did you know that in my state, there's a law going into effect shortly that in my state will be prohibited from using wood in our fireplaces and even buying a wood-burning stove? I know already in a lot of states out west, you can't even collect your own water. It's outlawed. What about all those states with mandatory vaccinations? And now I understand some of the big power company lobbyists are saying they're going to push for, get this, an off-the-grid tax. In other words, if you go off the grid, get your own solar set up, you'll pay an extra yearly tax for the privilege of being self-sufficient. But you know, in a kind of a twisted way, it's that tiny percentage of enlightened people that will vote with their feet that I want to hang with. That means when I do finally leave, I won't be elbow to asshole with a bunch of mindless, stupid drones for neighbors, like the ones I'm looking out the window at right now. So let them all stay in Fayetteville or Cleveland, wherever. And when the next big poop blizzard comes, they'll be the ones without water to clean it off. See you in a few days. Can't wait. Roy. Yep, Roy's got the right idea. And like he says, when the next poop blizzard hits, what's your plan B? Well, I know you listeners out there are at least contemplating a plan B, or you wouldn't be tuned in to me in the alternative media. But as for everyone else, maybe Roy's right. We really don't want to have a bunch of brain-dead, pinhead gringo neighbors now, do we? Oh, and one more thing. This show is going out right before my latest Latin American seminar, or maybe even going out during or after the seminar. Depends on how you're downloading the show. Anyway, don't forget, anyone who's interested in going to Southeast Asia to experience Richard Martin's seminar in Penang, just send him an email, rm@gfawd.com. That's rm@gfawd.com.
South of the border, down Mexico.
You've been listening to the Expat Files, living in Latin America, coming to you twice a week from somewhere south of the border. Email me, theexpatfiles@gmail.com. And don't forget to check out expatwisdom.com to sign up for your free reports on Latin America. See you next time. Nos vemos. She was a picture. He knows.